Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome to the show. So glad you could join us. As you know, we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We need your help, as I'm getting ahead of myself here, but we need your help in spreading the word. This is now the time for the Great Commission. If you're a Christian, it's your duty to step up right now and spread the word of Jesus Christ. And also, ladies and gentlemen, so we can make sure that we are bringing people to the Lord. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's okay. We don't play identity politics here. Judge not, lest you be judged. You have to answer for your own beliefs, and that's fine. But if you're an American, you have a duty and an obligation as well. And if you care about your kids or your grandkids, you really need to step up, folks, because we're losing our country. We have communists in charge, and they are leading us down the path of destruction. And we're going to be speaking with Pastor Sam Arnold, who's now a refugee in Mexico. We've covered that before in previous broadcasts. And we are going to talk to Sam about World War III. I wrote a pretty dramatic article, as did Sam, on this whole issue. And I think what you're going to find here, ladies and gentlemen, is that he's right on top of things about what's going on. We are dangerously close to war. Sam, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us here on Red State, Global Star, KYAH, and all our podcast services. You're speaking to the world, my friend. We got a pretty sizable audience, and I think that they're going to be hanging on every word.
I feel like John Connor grabbing the mic. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is, who is Milt Bearden? We are going to explain the Afghan situation from the very beginning. My entire refugee claim is posted on my Twitter account. Just go down to June 30th, and all four pages where I made my supplication to the President of Mexico are there. And lo and behold, mentioned in this claim is my connection to the architect of the whole Afghan catastrophe. So when our conversation started, Dave, you wanted to ask, Sam, what's going on in Afghanistan today? And I rolled it right back to 1988 and said, to understand this debacle, this disaster, we have to look all the way back at who started it. And the person who started it is the super spy Milton Alexander Bearden. And he's named in the claim. This is my personal enemy. He was asked by George Bush to head the CIA, but he preferred to stay in the shadow. He officially retired in 1994, and then 20 years later, he comes out in the WikiLeaks that he's in contact daily with all the Afghan warlords that he trained up in the 80s and the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And so, my goodness, here I am in Mexico City. You're in Arizona on top of Maricopa County. There's a huge military buildup heading for the Taiwan Straits. And let's just answer some of these enigmas about how we got to this point, the erosion of our nation, and what we can do about it today, and what's likely to happen. So let's jump right in and speculate anywhere you like.
No, I think, I'll tell you, there's so many entry points. Let me just review very quickly what we've talked about in the past. There's a multinational naval task force off the coast of India to protect 250,000 Indian troops on the Chinese border, and that includes the nations we know for sure of the UK and the US, but also rumored that the Australians have a role in it, and the Netherlands have now joined in, from what I understand. Japan and South Korea have told China to stay away from Taiwan or else. But with Biden's weakness here, China's got to be feeling their oats. And so that's kind of the backdrop here. And we've kind of had World War III in transit. I know, too, there's been mobilizations across the United States in the last 12 hours of air, land, and sea. Their destination is not entirely known, except I do know that some of the contingent at Luke Air Force Base went to Hawaii. I do know that for a fact. So, nonetheless, that's the backdrop for where we're at.
There's massive buildup in Hawaii. There's massive buildup in Guam and neighboring Tin Yan, which has been totally rebuilt. All the old stations that we used to run B-29s out of in World War II to bomb Tokyo, all of those have been rebuilt. And then we filled it up with F-22s and other aircraft, F-15s, support aircraft, cargo aircraft. It's all been filled up for the strike called exercise called Pacific Iron. And the buildup really surprised everybody that knew about these things, that there were that many of our most advanced planes there. It's only just begun. And then here we go, Sunday last, Kabul falls. So if the United States is a strong warrior marching off to battle, his pants just fell down on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was the intention, is to make the U.S., make our allies fear, make anyone who depends on the U.S. fear. And Afghanistan, our Afghanistanian intervention was a disaster from the very, very beginning. It was an erosion of the American way of living, politics, funding, and we're going to cover those details. We're going to name names. We're going to talk about how our intelligence agencies have gone to the dark side over the decades and who did it. And, you know, I think I should just read a little bit from my claim about this super spy, just so people know that I know who I'm talking about. And when they were asking me about this, you know, it's an extensive process making a claim as a refugee. And they said, Sam, what's the problem? What would happen if you returned to the United States? And I said, listen, all of our agencies are not all bad. All of our judges are not corrupt. Each individual police department, sheriff's department is not bad, but all of them have a back door. And let me tell you, Milton can call and go right through that back door and make sure that I don't get justice. So let me just give a quick example. I ran into a man named Sergeant Bond, and Sergeant Bond was very, very unhappy that his department was played by these powers. This is a sergeant on the Maryland State Police. He's trying to watch out for his jurisdiction. Now, he did get an APB, I believe, to watch out for Texas license plates because there was going to be a neighboring Virginia, a Second Amendment rally. And so I believe that that went out. So what's the first Texas license plate he sees? Mine. But the car was formerly Milton's stepmother's car that she willed to me.
Oh my.
When the sergeant in the Maryland State Police rolls through the rest area, first one at the in the Appalachians in Maryland, he's on the lookout for Texas license plates, and he runs this one, and it comes back stolen vehicle from Texas. Now I knew, and I actually posted before I crossed the Mississippi River. You know, from Iowa, you cross over, the first thing you hit is Illinois, one of the most restrictive anti-gun socialist states in our union, Democrat controlled from top to bottom. And I actually stood on the bluff and said, well, there's the occupied territory and I'm going over there. And if you want to know what's really out of sorts in our nation, there's only two states that bear their name, the name of the Queen of Heaven, Maryland and Virginia. And right in the middle is Washington, D.C. And there's a core of globalist power there that hates the idea of self-defense and self-government, which I represent. So I've been dawdling to cross over into the occupied territory. But here we go. And guess what I found in Maryland? Sergeant Bond. So Sergeant Bond's little bitty guy about my size. And here, this is a serious thing that comes up on his computer, stolen vehicle out of Texas when he's on the lookout for gunslingers, right? So he comes eye to eye with me, totally unarmed, you know, no drugs, no nothing, you know, I'm a preacher. But let me tell you, he was ready for all danger. And his department had been informed to be on the lookout for dangerous criminals that would fight back. So is Sergeant Bond the bad guy? He's really trying to look out for his own neighborhood, you know? So Sergeant Bond says, don't you put your hands in your pockets? I stood there in the snow and waited for his other car to get there. And remember, this is not in a city. So once his backup finally gets there, he cuffs me. I was very, you know, it was all very professional on his side and on my side. We go to jail. He says, all right, you're going to jail. Tonight, we're going to take you in a couple hours to go see another judge in the county seat. You'll be in jail over the weekend, and Monday we're going to extradite you to Texas, and your car's already impounded. That's what Sergeant Bond said. And I said, I have the title to this car in my name. It is in my luggage, and I think you're going to look at all the facts and that you're going to come and decide to let me go. Well, that was a tall tale. Well, guess what? An hour later, his lieutenant comes back, opens the cell door, and says, "So tell me again about da 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 da." So after getting fingerprinted, after all of this, and you know, this could have been, this was a dangerous situation. It's very dangerous for me, and it was very dangerous for them. You know, globalism is sending the average line officer to kill people that are willing to defend themselves and to stay alive. They're not the globalists. So he did let me go. He did let me go. And he took a, he made a copy of my title, and then he just shook his head, and he was mad, and not at me. He said, "First Texas said this car was stolen. And then they said, it's not stolen." I actually got arrested again in that car because the license plate brought up nothing at all when it was run through the official systems. So this is what Milton and his anarchists do. How does somebody report a car stolen that never belonged to them? Ever? Good question, right? Okay, this is the perversion of our justice system. And I need everyone to understand that this man started it. When Congressman Charlie Wilson finagled the first $50 million ostensibly to fight the Russians and to buy weapons for the Mujahideen. But this became the first nugget in a huge vein of a gold mine that the deep state found that they could just hit it for millions and billions and trillions and waste it. So I meant to keep my long stories for later in the broadcast, but maybe that's a clear example of how our justice system is being subverted, why it has come to me, who is behind it. Please get a hold of the movie Charlie Wilson's War. Tom Hanks played in it with Julia Roberts, and it shows how this congressman from Texas began to subvert our American way of life and our American way of representative government. It was found that if you got sleazy, greasy people on the right committees, that they could just slush fund anything. And it all began in Afghanistan. It all began with Milt Bearden. One more point on this, and then we can bounce back and forth, Dave. There's a dirty word, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Well, these are the people that built our nation, people that believed in God, people that were serious about the Bible, and people that were against the global control of the Pope. And if you read about Milton's life, if you read his book, The Main Enemy, if you read his book, The Black Tulip, which is a fictitious account of what he actually did in Afghanistan, training these warlords, getting them Stinger missiles, getting them Oerlikon cannons out of Scandinavia, and many, many other things, including mules, preferably stump broke, so that a youngster could stand on the stump behind them. Yeah, it's all in his books. The buggery, the bestiality. And what was it all about? Him and Gus Avrokotos and other certain people, that their true fidelity was to the Pope. Their true fidelity was to the Pope. And so they had to get rid of what they called the cake eaters, which is the old elite that at least had a vestige of our American values from 1620 and from 1776, of George Washington and Benjamin Franklin. These people who were far from perfect, but they knew the Bible and they tried to build a nation that was based on it. And Milton had to get rid of them. And finally, after all of these years, joined the CIA in 1963, the year that Kennedy was assassinated. Finally, they did get rid of him. And finally, they established a way to just fleece our nation and pour money to their cronies all around the world. And that's been the Afghanistan situation since 1988.
Okay, so let's... And this was after a lot of the battles with the Mujahideen versus the Russians, correct?
Right. You know, I saw a Hardball interview with Chris Matthews and Milt Bearden, and Chris Matthews is known to be a hard interviewer, even though he's part of that estate. he said, "Didn't you start this war, Milton?" And Milton jumped to defend himself, and he said, "No, the Russians started this war when they came into and machine-gunned villages, and when they came and assaulted these people and committed all of these war crimes." And of course, he had clear examples for all of that. And completely completely denied that he had totally uprooted our American way of life. It is so worth watching. You know, Milton is the person that Robert De Niro always plays. He always plays the spy. Let me tell you something really interesting. In 1997, Robert De Niro was filming Ronin in France. Great movie. One of my favorites. And there was a prostitution ring that had underage girls. And the French police went and arrested Robert De Niro, took him to their station, and interrogated him for 9 hours about this underage. So we're talking about child sex trafficking and child sex abuse. The police in France interrogated Robert De Niro for 9 hours about his involvement with this prostitution ring.
Oh, my God.
And the one thing they could not figure out is why there were private plane loads of Saudi princes that had come to France and were playing with Robert De Niro and the underage prostitutes. That's the one piece that they just could not make fit. Okay, here's a guy who's made of money and famous, and, you know, if he wants to hire some girls at his party that, oh, he thought they were of age, that's plausible enough. Even if he was a little bit of a freak and wanted some kids, that's plausible enough. But where did the Saudi princes come from? Because they did not understand that one of his very best friends, his god that he plays again and again in the Fockers, Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents, Ronin, movie after movie after movie, The Good Shepherd, all of these characters that he plays, Milton either consulted on or they're based on this legendary spy, Milton Alexander Bearden. I'll tell you where the Saudi princes came from. Do you see that there's just one missing link? And the French police could not figure it out. Okay, there's money, there's girls. Some of the girls are underage. But what about the Saudi princes? What about the Saudi princes? Well, the main person who has had their sticky fingers in the Arab world for decades and decades is Milton Alexander Bearden. You know, he really is Jason Bourne. And this is why he and I are opposite. They said in the movie Jason Bourne, you know, his handlers, who actually look like Milton, they said, you're a $34 million weapon that has malfunctioned. So, you see, Jason Bourne was a monarch multiple. Now, let me just take an aside. There are certain actors that are called method actors. You might want to Google that. You might want to look it up. Because it was started by a Russian. This is Eastern Bloc trauma-based mind control. And that is why these people, once they get in their character, are so convincing. And they have trouble getting in and getting out of character. Their environment needs to be maintained. And it bears all the hallmarks of Britney Spears, of Disney, of the monarch multiples of our day, going all the way back to the first models. Who's the famous gentleman prefer blondes? Marilyn Monroe. Going all the way back. Those are the first CIA models of sex kittens and monarch multiples for entertainment and for spying. And back in her day, this is when Milton joined the CIA, the very same year that Kennedy was assassinated. You know, if you go to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California, where all the Green Berets go and all the spies, they have level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? A lot of people are really impressed when I speak Spanish. The fact is, my Spanish is not that great. It's okay. And Spanish is a level 1 difficulty language. Lots of cognates, same alphabet, same number. You know, sandwich, guess what? In Spanish, it's sandwich. Easy. Hamburger is hamburguesa. Fries are fries. Coke is coca. How hard is that? It's full of cognates. So it's the easiest level. Arabic is level 5. Completely different alphabet. totally alien to an English speaker. Zero cognates. Well, not very many. Algebra, zenith, ajedrez in Spanish. Milton went to the Defense Language Institute for three different programs in diverse languages: Chinese, Russian, and Arabic. All alien alphabets. He speaks them all fluently. He was chief of station in Singapore. Was his first CIA chief of station assignment. Yeah, so he's been involved with the Russian world, with the Chinese world, and with the Arab world all these years. He got his sticky fingers in everything.
How was it that you became involved with the periphery of these operations in Afghanistan, with an individual who wanted to arrest you? Why did they target you?
Well, that was just a cop on the street. That was just a cop on the street. But why did his computer say...
Yeah, exactly.
Get this guy. Kill him if you can. Be ready to kill him. Why did his computer say that?
Good
because
question.
Milton and the anarchists get in the back of everything. You know, my preaching team got stingrayed in 2011. Smartphones were new. And here we are preaching in my home state of Iowa, someplace where I halfway belong, and I was contracted and we were preaching. But we were helping a lot of young people to start to get free that had been, you know, in sex abuse, and their minds were scrambled up a little bit. And boom, my pianist gets taken away. 50 agents, pre-dawn raid, in the dark, phone wiped. 2011, 10 years ago, before anybody heard about it. Why was that? Because Milton has got a personal beef with me. And here's how it all happened. This is the short version. I was really, really pinned by the Satanists at a very difficult point in my life. And an old man came and knocked on my door and said, "Let's get you a new bike." Took me down to the motorcycle store and got me a brand new Honda, and then bought one for my wife, both brand new, his and hers. And this guy was not wealthy. We happened to be neighbors, and we talked to him about the Lord. And then his mother called me, or reached out to me, after he died, and she was so afraid that he had died outside faith. And when she found out that he had a friend and that we were working together in the harvest field bringing souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was just absolutely stunned, and she made a point to find me. And she was over 90 years old at the time, but she said, "You come to Texas and visit me." And then when I got there, she said something that used to be very common with the World War I and II and the Korea generation. Everybody today, it seems real weird, but back then, which is their generation, her son, my friend, fought in Korea on Heartbreak Ridge, got wounded, had a Purple Heart, and carried shrapnel to his grave. It still rattles around if you can find his urn of ashes. So his mother said to me, "My son's gone. I want you to be my son now. I want you to be in the place of my son." She came two times to Mexico with me to visit orphanages and visit churches. And do you know who this person was? Elizabeth Bearden, Milton's stepmother. Because his father, that was in the Manhattan Project, that was high up in the government years before, he had got saved, became a Christian, and then at his 50-year high school reunion after his wife had died, he fell in love with someone that he knew when they were young, and that was Elizabeth. And so that's how she came to Tulsa. That's how she joined into Milton's family. But it's very important to remember that his family, they're out of the trailer park, they're out of the Catholic Church, and out of every 10,000 or 100,000 altar boys that are abused, that their minds are cracked, whether it's in SRA or whether they're offered up to the church to go in and light candles and stand there in a dress and meet the Father in the sacristy before, out of many, many thousands of those, they get one like Milton. Now, this is against what we believe as Americans. We believe that everybody has a chance. You find your own partner. You find somebody that's like you. You do your best. you know, not everybody is dealt aces all the way across. But that's what's great about America. Be a great shoemaker. Be a great maid in a hotel. And everybody can have their own very successful life. But this is not. And their own very successful monogamous marriage till death do us part. That's another great blessing that our forefathers believed in. But you see, it's this vine of Sodom, the Bible calls it, that comes in with the prima nocta, that wants for children to all be abused. What is it they say in the Boy Love organization? Sex before 8 or it's too late. So one out of every many thousands that they do this to, you know, the majority are lost. They go insane. They go into prostitution. They're lost in drugs and crime. They try to live on the straight and narrow, but they're so screwed up. That's why we say, F'd in the head. What's wrong with this kid? Okay. You know, Eminem, who experienced SRA in the trailer park, and then went to the top of his game, but fell apart later into drugs and stuff. He finally, in the album Relapse, tells about it all. Tells what his stepfather did to him. And it's not fit for family conversation, but you can just get yourself a copy of that album and spin it and see what the man says himself about how he was made into a superstar. So out of every many thousands, they get Jason Bourne. They get somebody that can master language after language after language, that can has a literal photographic memory.
And this is who's masterminding what's going on in Afghanistan.
From 1988 until today. Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting. What's the objective?
Well, to steal the $2 trillion, for starters, to completely deplete and demoralize our military, to grow poppies, to sell drugs throughout the world, because, see, that's part of the vine of Sodom. The same thing happened with the Golden Triangle in Vietnam, Air America and all that. It was all about drugs because drugs are an important part of their deviant life. That's why reasonable people outlaw them. It's all supposed to be a train wreck, and now we see that it is. And I'd just like to speak to the contractors that are there. All of them could have been making shoes. They could have been framing houses in the USA. But why would they frame houses for 30, 40, 50 grand a year when they could just fly over to the sandbox and make 300? A little bit of danger, yeah. It's a little professional trade craft involved. But this is where so many people have signed on. You know, you could traffic drugs in your own community and be a ghetto star, be mega balling too. Why do people think that that's okay? And so now we have all of these quote Americans over in Afghanistan, and somebody convinced me that they're not part of this system, that they are not hooked in and nursing the milk off of all those trillions that have been stolen from us to just destroy nations. Somebody convince me.
Okay, so why, what are they gaining from having so many American contractors stuck behind enemy lines, since clearly this is the force that's basically micromanaging things, and Biden is acquiescing, so what do they gain by sacrificing American contractors?
I'm really mad at every one of those guys. Why are they not framing houses? That's my question. Because they threw in their lot. Now, some of them, you want to talk about how they're victims? As soldiers, they got sent off to do, really, the Pope's bidding. This is Daniel 11:6. This is the King of the North and the King of the South uniting themselves together. This is every tribe of Islam, every sect of Islam that cannot be reasoned with by the Pope being eradicated. And that's what the U.S. military has been very busy with since 2001. And so a lot of these guys that go into contracting, they started in the military. They got sent off to these sandbox wars, and they actually came back with a saying. I love the 2007 Eagles album, Long Road Out of Eden, where there's a strong reproach of neoliberalism, of this type of nation building, that it's all corrupt. Some great movies have been made about wars for hire. So a lot of people got sent over for that, and then one of the sayings that came out of that sandbox is, it's not a just war, it's just war. It is not a just war, it is just war. And then it's okay to just be a professional killer. And really, everybody who comes back, their moral arguments about it, and remember, I am the original gospel gunslinger and wrote the book on the biblical use of force. Everybody that comes back from the sandbox has got a totally screwed up, twisted theology of the use of force. So they get out of the military and then get into contracting and then make more money. And to them, it's just a job.
Are you saying they're controlling both sides now? They're controlling the contractors, and they're controlling the Mujahideen descendants called the Taliban. And I'm going to have you hold that answer until we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard that the Chinese ports are shutting down safe too. The port of Los Angeles is freaking out, so are other ports now. Why? Because we're going to have huge shortages, and that includes food. Mega drought in the West, you name it. Meat packing plants still aren't open, which is inexcusable. You almost think it's planned. Well, we won't go there for this, but let's just say this. You're not going to be able to get storable food much longer when hyperinflation kicks in. And if you don't have storable food, you're going to be dependent upon the government to give you food that they may not have or may not want to share with you. So isn't the prudent course of action to get about 2 years' worth of food plus seeds? That's the recommendation. So I'm recommending to you that you go to preparewithdave.com and that you look at the special that's there. Oh my gosh, Dave, oh, 25% off for 4-week emergency package. Yeah, bundle those together because that's the same food, and get the 25% savings all the way through your order. Know that you're getting a 25-year shelf life product. Lots of diversity in the food. Go to preparewithdave.com. And I interviewed John Moore one time, and I asked John, I said, John, when you were in Vietnam, being a Green Beret, I said, what was your most scary moment? He said, when we lost communication. And when the people finally rise up against the tyranny that's overtaken this country, they will shut everything down, except they can't shut down sat phones. They either have to have the phone or they have to take down the satellites. That's not going to happen because a lot of Iridium satellites make up the network that we're talking about. You need a sat phone if you want to stay in touch with your family. The worst thing I can imagine is having my family spread throughout a city and then it goes down. How do you rally? You don't. But if you have a sat phone, you can. How do you find out more about this? Call 855-980-5830. That's 855-980-5830. Tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show told you to call. And one more thing, because we're only doing one commercial break for the entire hour, and you notice these products are all things that I think our audience is going to need. When the crash comes, how are you going to be? Because we will come out the other side. There will be some semblance of a society. There will be wealth. There'll be stratification of wealth. How are you going to do? If you keep your money in the bank, well, you got to realize cash is trash and it's going to crash. You need to go with what will get you through the crisis. You need to go with what has been backing up people's wealth for 6,000 years. I'm going to invite you to call Noble Gold if you have assets to protect. I went from being just an advertiser to I've been a client several times over, and I feel I'm going to get through the bumpy parts of what's coming, and I'll come out the other side, relatively speaking, better off than my competition. That means I'll be wealthier than my competition. So if you have assets to protect, call Noble Gold, 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And we're speaking with Pastor Sam Otto. He's giving his personal experiences and tying them in to the corruption that has ruled the day in Afghanistan, resulting in poppy fields, resulting in tremendous waste of military resources. They got pocketed. The money got pocketed. Of course, we know the Pat Tillman death was connected with this because he saw what it was for what it was, and they had to kill him. They couldn't have a popular figure like him talking. And I asked Sam, I said, so do these people Charlie Wilson's war. Do these people control both sides? Sam, what's your answer to that?
They controlled as many as five different warring factions of the Mujahideen. And then the U.S. actually went in there after 2001 openly. It grew from the original 50 million to many hundreds of millions in a bite. And then when George Bush goes to war, I think the first number he asked for was 80 billion, just for the first tranche. That might have been in Iraq, but in both of those countries, the same thing is happening. And so there's so many people on the dole. Let me tell you about a hanging pawn. So Elizabeth's son died young, 70. But he had a son. And so this was a blood heir of Elizabeth Bearden. And he's mentally handicapped. And he's in an institution today because Milton and his anarchists stole all of Elizabeth's money. And there's rainbow flag wearing recidivist anarchists living in her house today, and they've really torn it all up. All of her wealth has been stolen. They hired a crook. I actually got the Securities Exchange Commission through prayer. Now, this is a powerful law enforcement organization. They don't hang people for stealing candy bars. They won't hang somebody for stealing a million, generally. It's the people who steal hundreds of millions. It's the Bernie Madoffs that they go after. But when we prayed, the Lord brought all of that firepower to bear on my enemies that were stealing this estate. And you know what? The anarchists still got it. And so, all of those of you who are hearing people like Dave Hodges that are way out on the fringe saying, oh yes, anarchists will be sent into your house. They will be sent into your house, and you will have to billet them. And thieves and Black Lives Matter race-baiting activists, you will have to billet them. And everybody says to themselves, oh, that'll never happen. Okay, well, who do you think Milton tried this on first? Tried it out on me, his favorite enemy. And right now, those are the people that are in this house. And you know who's the past pawn? Tommy Coleman. Elizabeth Bearden's handicapped grandson, who's sitting in an institution right now because I was unable to accomplish what Elizabeth assigned me to do, to keep an eye on him, to keep an eye on him and make sure that he did not lack anything with her resources. And so I'm really concerned about Tommy Coleman in the institution. He calls me Uncle Sam, and he loves his Uncle Sam. But you know what? There's no way, because I've been defeated in many aspects by Milton. Now, Tommy is more important to me than 100 knuckle draggers, which I'm not going to even specify all of the carnal aspects of these people. I think you know them. Now, I love our veterans and I honor our veterans, but there is a culture within the U.S. military which is reprehensible, ungodly, and unchristian. And there's professional killers over there that have made this what they do way worse than a cop in the USA. They can pull the trigger. Nobody cares. Nobody asks questions. And I'm supposed to be concerned for them now that their God has failed them, now that their salvation theology that the AC-130 gunship would come and level hundreds of enemies around them if they ever were beset has failed them, now that their leaders in the deep state have left them high and dry, I'm supposed to cry about it? I say nuke it from orbit. And I think that that's what Trump was saying when he made this threat to Afghanistan. All right, we've built a peace, we've made treaties, but if they renege on it, and if they come and attack us again, we will hit them so hard, harder than anyone's been hit. It sounded to me like a thermonuclear threat. We're not talking about dial yield, limited strikes. We're talking about ballistic missile, multiple reentry vehicles, and total annihilation, and the paving of a nation into glass. And maybe that's what needs to happen, because otherwise, the Chinese are just going to come marching through. They're already. Tell us about them being embedded with the Taliban.
Yeah, they're already there. I mean, I've told the story where I've had a source that with the base was attacked as they were preparing destruction of material in preparation for withdrawal, and they came under attack. They needed superior air power to repulse the attack. They were outnumbered and outgunned. And when they did intel on the battlefield about what they were up against, they found American and Chinese weapons and your typical Taliban and so forth and so on. But what they weren't expecting to find was Chinese were embedded in these fighting units wearing Taliban garb, Chinese nationals. So they're already there. They're already there. And I understand, too, there's actual Chinese military units that have entered Afghanistan.
Well, my friend from Africa, who was in Uganda when Idi Amin took over, said, "Let me tell you what happens when Muslims take over. Most dogs will be killed." You see, in an Islamic nation, they think that a dog is unclean. So they kill them. They just kill them. But fortunately, and I think it's time for some levity, fortunately, the Chinese are there. So there's a new symbiosis. They're ready to walk those dogs as the Taliban eradicates what they consider to be unclean.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So I still am kind of fuzzy on one issue. Why this power group, which we basically, I think, can refer to as the CIA, hand-me-down from the Mujahideen partnership, and I actually have noted that in things I've written this week. What are they gaining by, I know what I've been told, but I'm wondering from your perspective, what are they gaining by having thousands of American contractors stuck behind enemy lines?
You had mentioned that you think there's an intent to keep them as bargaining chips, and I think that that's probably right. I think it's probably correct, because the real adversary is China. The real flashpoint is the South China Sea, between South Korea and China, Taiwan and China, Japan and China, the Philippines and China, Vietnam, the Vietnamese coasts, and then moving westward, India feels very threatened. Of course, they share a land border with China. And there's been some posturings. You know, when we talk about maneuverings and when we talk about conspiracies, everybody wants to make it one clear direction by one master controller, and that's not how any fist fight operates. The guy hits you when you're trying to hit him, and then you hit him, and then you got to try to capitalize on that, and he may recover his balance and come back at you before you can do it. And so this is the way any fist fight is. Some of those, you know, there was a withdrawal of the Indian and Chinese troops in the Himalayas. And so in some respects, India and China are working out some arrangements toward peace and withdrawing from that flashpoint. In other respects, just for example, the brand new Indian aircraft carrier just went out for 5 days of sea trials and came back. First sea trials. Now, you and I reported on this, and I said, supposed to be done in June or July of this year. Nobody's heard anything about it. Well, the first days of August, she went out on sea trials. I've got all the articles on my Twitter. Just search Gospel Gunslingers, and you can see that great ship going out for sea trials with no aircraft on deck. And so this is their second aircraft carrier. They have a third one that they're talking about either building or maybe the keel's laid. I'm not sure how far along it is. It's even bigger. India is preparing for an all-out conflict with China, even if there's a little bit of get-along right now. And so the same thing's happening with Russia. Russia was not looking like they were going to defend China. Then they went out and did exercises together and said they would defend China against American oppression. And now we just really don't know what's going to happen. A lot of things could change as the blows are traded. But the Afghan thing, the fall of Kabul, which I really believe that every American will eventually see this as the Pearl Harbor moment of our generation. There's life before the fall of Kabul, and there's life after the fall of Kabul. And you know, you talk about cities falling into total disorder and anarchy. I've seen that in hurricane zones and things like that in the U.S., but it's kind of distant for an American that there would be total chaos. And it's distant even for the contractors that were in Kabul. They thought that the gravy train was going to go on forever, and they just keep on getting paid. Listen, if you are a public employee, your pension is gone. The dollar is gone. Do something right now that you can do to get hard assets and to strengthen yourself and your position for what's coming on the earth.
I agree.
Because it's coming. And, you know, I've spent a lot of vehicles to get to this point. Actually, I'm at the place where I need another new motorcycle. I just bought one. But you know what? My assistant gunner's always got it. He's got to go to court. He's got to do this. So we're occupied. We're under-equipped. I'm here. I haven't spent all. In 2015, I had all my trucks lined up. I had my motorcycles, my bicycle, my dirt bike, my street bike, my van, my truck, my other truck, and a couple project trucks. And all. They were most all pretty tip-top. And then I've spent all that one at a time, lost them, wore them down at nothing and sold them, et cetera, et cetera. And here we are on the very edge of World War III. And that's how I have the information and the experience to bring to the audience. Please, if you have cash assets, it's just going to evaporate. It's going to happen overnight. The lesson about these contractors in Afghanistan is it can happen, and it will happen, and if you don't take steps, it will happen to you. Every one of them could have left, but the gravy was just too good. It was just too good.
I know. It's so disturbing, Sam, as you unfold this story, that the roots of the Taliban, this parallels Vietnam, too. Let's not forget that in Vietnam in the early 60s, the CIA was pushing heroin out of the Golden Triangle. And that, to me, was one of the major impetus to get involved, but along with, of course, our military-industrial complex profits. Are we seeing... I know you talked about the poppy fields. I think the answer is rather obvious, but we're seeing huge profits from the U.S. military by these forces. Is there money skimming that's going on with American military equipment or funding?
Yes, because it's not even skimming. It just gets paid to the warlords.
Uh-huh.
It just gets paid to the warlords. Go get you a copy of Milton's book, The Main Enemy, where he talks about the suitcases full of cash and him delivering them and him meeting with the warlords and them getting the weapons. And then, of course, it's all aggrandized. They brag about it all. They brag about it and say, okay, so in the end, Russia was losing an aircraft a day. Their huge Hind helicopters, you know, the helicopter that chased Rambo that had all the missiles on it?
Mm-hmm.
That's called Hind, and that's the D variant. And this is one of the super weapons of the 80s that the Mujahideen could not deal with. It's armored against 50 cal. Even a 50 caliber machine gun, unless you're right up on it, will not take those down. And so that's where the U.S. weapons started to come in, first from around the world, and then we quit even hiding it with the Stinger missiles, which you brought up the other day. In fact, there's a conversation in the Black Tulip where Milton is riding in the helicopter with a Russian officer, and the pilot speaks to the Russian officer, and Milton says, what did he say? And he said, oh, he said that we will increase our altitude because down below they have Stinger missiles that cannot reach us. And then he says, but I told him, you already know all about that. And it's true, because Milton's the one that got him, the Stinger missiles. And that's just, this is the 80s.
Let me go to another point here.
Because,
Sam, time is short, and I want to go to another point here. We know J. Edgar Hoover stayed in power because he blackmailed seven presidents, one way or another. Is there a blackmail element to this group that keeps them in power as long as they've been?
Definitely, but I really believe that point is overweighted in most arguments. The real problem was James Jesus Angleton, who is portrayed by Matt Damon in the movie The Good Shepherd, which Milton consulted on, and I'll tell you, he basically wrote it. So this is the aggrandized account of James Jesus Angleton, the famous spy hunter, mole hunter. But you know who was really the mole the whole time? James Jesus Angleton himself. And so while the blame is all put on J. Edgar Hoover, I'd encourage anyone to read J. Edgar Hoover's book, Communism and How to Fight It. I believe it's from 1958, and it's an excellent warning of how dangerous this is, how there's spiritual power behind it, and J. Edgar Hoover did a lot to fight that. But then when you get a little further along, maybe into the 70s, and the chief mole hunter was himself a mole and rooted out every godly, God-fearing person that they called white shoes, they called cake eaters, they called wasps, because those people had some residual fear of God. They had to get rid of them, and they finally did in mole hunts, because the mole, the central mole, was James Jesus Angleton. Now, if you watch the movie, the story is all about how he's this great man and how he laid down his life and how he saved the nation repeatedly with his dedication.
No, that's a bunch of bull crap. Hey, Sam, before we go, I wanted to ask you this, too. We know there's a huge heroin connection in Afghanistan tied to this group. I can tell you right now that my research, and Jim Mars, before he passed, said that he totally agreed with what I found. We have a picture of the shooter on the grassy knoll that killed Kennedy. And there were three hit teams that were there. So this is just one of the three. But he fired the fatal headshot. His name was Lucien Sarti. He was a member, an assassin for the old French Connection heroin group out of Marseille, France. And the contract was originally given to kill Kennedy to Christian David. And he said no. But he said, I know someone that'll do it in country and he'll wear a disguise. And we know the badge man photo now was with Sarti wearing the Dallas police uniform behind the picket fence, standing next to a spotter in a railroad uniform. Here's my question, and I think we've already answered this. I think this group provided some assassins in Dealey Plaza in November of 1963 because of their heroin connections, and they would have been involved very clearly with Marseille, France, and that old French Connection mafia. Are you aware of this?
Sometimes I hate to be right. I warned Elizabeth for years that there was a root of this vine of Sodom, and that this whole side of the family was infected with it. Some drug addicts, some sex addicts, some child abusers, some just out there in the trailer park and their kids being subject to all of that. And even Elizabeth said, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. But then Milton's 103-year-old auntie died. And I went to their funeral. And I walked into the Catholic Church at 15th and Lewis in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one block east, just east of the Chimney's restaurant. And there was Milton, knelt down on the little kneeling board like a schoolboy with his tongue stuck out, receiving the host from his daddy.
Okay, but you got to answer my question, and our time is really short. Do you think that these people were connected to the Kennedy assassination?
100%, but it's the vine of Sodom. It's out of Rome. This is the popery. These are the people who believe.
So, yeah, you're talking about Jesuits.
And among others.
Yeah, and now, honestly, when you say that, you're in Paul Preston's territory now, and that's another topic for another day here. We got just a minute left, so tell people how they can follow your work.
GospelGunslingers.com. I'm very easy to find. I'm easy to reach out to. Please follow me on all platforms. I have had to flee the country because of these enemies, because I don't get a fair shake anywhere, because every lying cop is trying to kill me to do Milton's bidding, to do the bidding of these troublemakers. There's no such thing as a Estado de Derecho, as having rights in the United States for anyone who has come against this system. And I just say to everyone, be bold enough to stand up against it. GospelGunslingers.com.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you said that, because I have been calling for absolute civil disobedience domestically. and not just over the incompetence and the criminal associations with the Biden administration, and also too, we didn't even get into this, but the Bush crime family, I'm sure, is involved in Afghanistan because the players are overlapping, but that's another topic for another time. But I'm glad to hear you say that we need massive civil disobedience in this country to these people. Sam, we're out of time, my friend. We got to run, but we'll follow up on this in a near date.
Let's meet soon.
Thanks.